Well, welcome to a Panthers pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio. We're reflecting on the past week in Panthers land and looking ahead to what's coming up this weekend and a bit further afield, because I'm sure we'll touch on the Ollie Betteridge testimonial, because there is only just a handful of days till we honour Ollie Betteridge. A little bit short bench tonight. First of all, I'll say hello to who we do have, Dan Green and Jono Bullard. Good evening, folks.
Evening.
Evening, guys.
Ken Fees is going to try and join us. He's on a little break at the moment. Chris Gadsby, I'm having to scroll back through our chat. This is a great excuse. He's at the pre-war Austin Seven Club Lincolnshire Group's annual quiz night. Of course he is. If you
Does
didn't.
anybody know? Did anybody know what that means? Because I read that and I was like, that could be anything to me.
I think it's old cars. I think.
It must be, mustn't it?
But with his soapbox cars and his old Austin Sevens. Apparently he's written the quiz, so that's why he can't join. So
With you, because like he made the rules for the soapbox shoebox racing and won it. So maybe he'll enter his own quiz and win it. I mean, play by Chris Gadsby's rules, don't you? Like, we're all living in Chris Gadsby's world here. So I think he's quite good here, because we're going to have quite a bit of a stato moment later, thanks to Jono soon. But let's
Well
Green.
reminded, I'll get that
Well done. Green, and let's start with, gosh, it just feels ages ago, even though it wasn't really. But let's go back to Friday, that win over Manchester. I feel as though the fans, the dressing room, probably felt, and I think it's right, that it was one of the more complete performances of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what me and Jono said at the time on the commentary. It was you couldn't have really asked for any more, you know. Well, apart from the first 10 seconds, but came back, scored straight away, 4-1 after the first period, only gave up about 16 shots, scored on the power play, didn't give up anything, I don't believe shorthanded. Scoring was spread around. It was probably, as much as we've had a great season, I think everyone agreed that the home form's kind of been a little bit up and down, but that was just the ideal remedy, wasn't it? The perfect 60 minutes or 59 and a half minutes at home. You know, I don't really think you'd want any more. I'm sure Danny was super happy with it, and loads of different guys scoring. For once, it wasn't like we won and one of the goalies kind of stole it. It was just a dominant performance against a team in good form, and really from start to finish, it was pretty perfect, I thought.
I mean, we were short bench because, of course, Ollie and Finlay were away with GB, and we'll try and touch on that later if we have time. But to be fair to the guys, Danny rolled 10 forwards, kept slotting in Jordan Kelsall. But despite, not having a full bench, I thought their energy was positive all night, wasn't it?
All the way through, all 60 minutes, every shift gave everything. Nobody seemed to take a shift off on Friday night, except in the first 11 seconds, like Dan said. But yeah, that was a really good goal that Storm scored, actually, straight off. Really good passing move to get it to Brady Gilmore, who couldn't really miss. And I don't know if you remember it, 20 seconds after that. After the
Yes.
face-off, they had a really good chance to make it 2-0, and it could have been a very different game had that gone in. But it wasn't. Kevin Carr made the save. We went and scored, and then were completely dominant for the rest of the first period. And I know Dan said it a lot of times on commentary, but we really did dominate the rest of that first period. Every time we went forward, we looked like we was going to put it in the net. And yeah, which was a really good performance considering Drew DeRidder, who started the game in net for Manchester. He conceded 3 goals in 4 previous Elite League games and conceded 4 in that first period against us. So that just goes to show what a good performance it was against a netminder who was very, very hot.
I mean, while you've been talking, I was getting up the game stats to familiarise myself with the scoring. Of course, 2 goals was Zombor Garratt, which was great. And note here, they've changed the first goal to Limo's from Harrison Hildeman. I did think at the time, I thought it was the way the goal went in, I'm thinking, how? I mean, obviously at the time, I thought, I mean, how? We'll touch on that in a minute, but I assumed it took a deflection off a Storm player. But then trying to watch it, I was, I was thinking, how's that happened? So yeah, that one's gone. So that's now two for Lemos in that game, two for Zombor, one for Matt Marcinou, and then the final one to Tim Doherty. Ken, you've joined us on a mini break. We were just saying, you've got a good excuse. You're on a mini break. Chris Gadsby is at the pre-war Austin Seven Club Lincolnshire Group's annual quiz. Just to clarify, you're not there. That's not where your break is.
That's definitely not where I am right now. I think he wrote the quiz, didn't he?
We said that earlier. Yes, he did.
Yeah, so he's delivering the quiz. I think that's a, I mean that's a, you that's so, it's like one of those excuse, when you make an excuse for not being somewhere and you're like, this has got to be so elaborate that no one will ever question it.
No, but it's Chris Gadsby all over. I mean, of course he wrote the quiz. And yeah, I mean, I wonder what's the quiz about though?
It's got to be the history of the
I
Austin
wouldn't
Seven.
mind seeing a copy of the quiz next week.
Yeah.
Seeing if we can
He
answer any
should
questions
do
from
it
it.
to us and see out of us four who gets the most right.
Yeah. If it's on pre-war Austin cars, I'm getting zero right
Yeah,
though. I
I
hope
hope
it's
it's
an
not
awful
awful
choice. I'm
choice,
getting
yeah.
less than that. Yeah. So we were talking about Manchester, Ken. You just joined us. Thank you. Giving up your time. What a wonderful man. We feel that like Fridays was probably one of the most complete performances, apart from the first 11 seconds. After that, it was pretty sexy, great hockey, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was, we talked about it afterwards. We were pretty buzzing on the podcast. It was a great game, and it was utter domination from the Panthers, like you say, apart from a couple of lapses of concentration where the puck ended up in the back of our net. I think it was probably the most, one of the most, if not the most complete performance that we've seen from the Panthers all season. And we said, it was coming that we were gonna really dominate a team, and I think that we need to now see that kind of form translate and that confidence translate against some of the big teams as well. No, that's no disrespect to Manchester because they're a great side. They've had a fantastic start in the league, but what, against Cardiff, Sheffield, Belfast, we need to see it translate as well.
Jonah, how impressed were you with the performance in Fife? You just feel that win for Fife will come. And, I remember speaking to the coaching staff, I think it was Danny before the game, saying, you don't want to be that team. They ran Sheffield very close. They gave us some scary moments, but it was just kind of a professional job done against a Fife team who clearly still not great, but they seem to have something about them at the moment.
Yeah, and they're only going to get stronger, especially having added Simon Dupree in the past couple of days. So that's definitely going to shore up their defence. A real quality defenceman coming in for them. They did give Sheffield a really tough game a couple of weeks ago, and I think we talked about it last week, and it was something to watch out for. And they pushed us close. It was 2-1 well into the third period. And then they got into some penalty trouble, and David Noel managed to get the 5-on-3 power play goal. And from there, Foss goes on to complete his hat trick with an empty net goal. So, yeah, a really good performance, especially coming off the back of Friday night. Like you said, we've already said, short bench, two players down, having to travel all the way up to Fife against a team who would have probably been. Had a quite a shot in the arm and a bit of confidence after that performance against the Steelers. So to come away from there with that 4-1 victory, I think was a very, very good performance and capped off a really great weekend for us.
Yeah, I just totally lost my chain of thought. We're talking about Fife, yeah?
I'm
Yeah.
going to just
Brilliant.
so Simon Dupre, the signing of Simon Dupre, I
Good
think,
point.
he came in but just the right time for the Flyers. I think, they put out a press release again just saying that, they knew that this season was going to be tough. This was not the start that they wanted naturally, but obviously thank the fans for their support. And I think there's a, yes, they're searching searching for the performances they want up there, but I feel like the community in Fife are behind the project and what they're trying to do. I don't think they've lost that support, and I think that's crucial. But Simon, when he came in, he mentions in his quote, and it's yeah, he's pretty. He's like, yeah, I want to help turn this boat around and get the boat to Nottingham in the final four, which is a pretty big statement, really, given where they are right now. But it's that kind of confidence and that kind of leadership and kind of natural ability at the back that's probably going to help the Flyers. And Simon Dupre is an extremely good player, extremely natural on the puck. A quality former NHLer with real depth to his game, and I think he'll really settle them at the back, and really give them some confidence.
I mean, it's. I'm glad you brought that up because, Simon Dupre's time in Nottingham was just too short. I would love to have seen him more greener. I mean, I think it was a tough decision
But he came into it. Sorry, just to he's a guy that's, he came into us at an extremely difficult point, an
Yeah.
extremely difficult point. And we'll never forget
Yeah.
that's when he came. And he's for very different reasons, for hockey reasons and other things. He's arriving in Fife at a difficult time for them, in terms of their performances and what's going on. So, it maybe can bring a bit of spark to them.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say to you, Greener, a bit like Chase Pearson now, when you look at him and go, you can see the NHL in him. It was the same with Simon, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you could just tell he was, I wouldn't say head and shoulders above everybody, but just the way he carried himself, like Ken touched on it there, his calmness, his presence. I actually noticed it, and I remember me and Jono talking about on the commentary when he was in Glasgow last year. He'd have the puck, he'd have his head up, there'd be two guys flying at him, just no panic, just one little move, make a pass, or he'd just protect the puck. Skate round and pass it off. He just oozes quality, and he'll just help them. He'll be a leader. They've obviously got a very young team. He'll be very good on the power play. He'll chip in with some goals, but I think he'll just be that instant leader. They will look up to him. He'll be someone that commands a respect of the room. And like you said, you just look at his resume, and he could kind of not single-handedly, but he will massively help to turn that ship around if they can. He'll be one of their main guys, 20, 25 minutes of ice a night. So yeah, he'll be a pleasure to watch when they're in town.
Come on, let's go to you, Jono, and break down your stats, which you'll be able to kind of bring to the fore more than I. But what you've been doing with the thing you dropped in the podcast group the other day was to talk about how many goals and how many assists are coming from the defense and the forwards. And I think what you kind of want to touch on in particular is that just under 20% of our goals are coming from defensemen, and over 35% of our assists are coming from defensemen. When you go back, I mean, I know it might be an outlier, but last season, didn't we? We waited till December, I think, for a goal from our defensemen. Then they started to score quite regularly. But what we're seeing time and time again, and you often get assists, don't you? Because power plays and all sorts of things, but the goals as well. Just talk us through what you can deep glean from the stats that you've been sending to us.
Yeah, I mean, we're really getting contributions from all over the ice. We've scored 72 goals in all competitions so far, which splits us 14 for the defense and 58 for the forwards. But it's the assists that are where the defense are really making a contribution. It's 121 assists in total, 43 from the defense, and 78 from the forwards. And you look at the likes of, for example, Gerard Hildeman, who hasn't scored a goal yet, but has got, n I think, 9 assists against his name in 20 games from the blue line, which is great going. So if you look at the sort of percentage splits for goals, it's 19.5% for the defense, 80.5% for the forwards, but on assists, 35.5% for the defense and 65.5% for the forwards. So yeah, it just goes to show how crucial that contribution is coming from the blue line. So emphasised none more so than Jean Borgora this past weekend, where he got 2 goals and 3 assists over the 2 games. So that 5-point contribution from him just over 2 games, and David Noël is continually chipping in with points. Cooper Zek, I think, is on 2 goals and 9 assists as well. I've already mentioned Jarrad Hildeman and the contribution he's making from the blue line. David Noël's goals, Jean Borgora's goals. It's a real important contribution and a reason why we are doing so well offensively overall, I think.
Greener, I was going to kind of get you to push on that point, but I'm actually going to flip it because, and there aren't, I mean, I'm sure coaches and stats people have ways they can measure this really well and will break this down. But I'm going to talk about, the responsible forwards defensively, because obviously when you're winning games, it always is like, these players have scored the goals. This goalie's done really well. These guys got the assist. And then you might sometimes break down a play and go, oh, I thought this guy had a great game defensively. But you don't win hockey games if your forwards aren't defensively responsible. And I feel as though I've seen a lot of that in Panthers recently. Do you concur with that?
Yeah, I think they're almost a sort of unsung heroes, really. Like you said, most people kind of watching hockey, as you said, you see the guys that score and you see the goalie doing well, and that's kind of what most goes into winning a game. But actually, it is those little things. If you go back to the team when we won the treble, guys like Brandon Benedict and
Oh,
Mark
yeah.
Leivers and Matthew Myers, that they weren't probably in our top five or six scorers, but they were penalty killing and they were physical and they were probably in the plus column every single night. And yeah, they kind of go under the radar a bit. I mean, I think you sort of look at a guy like a Ross Armour, who, he's had a good start for the Panthers. He's probably not one of our top scorers necessarily, but every night he does the little things right. He's defensively sound. He's picking up some assists. He's not scoring a hat trick every week, but if he's not doing his job, then all of a sudden, Kevin Carr's facing more shots and the puck's in our end a lot more. So it's, to sort of win at the top, it's all those little tiny cogs that go into kind of making up the big engine at the end. And obviously, the Fossier and the Pearsons are going to get a lot of the plaudits, and quite rightly. But no, I think we've got two or three guys, someone like Matt Alfaro, a guy that me and Jono says he does everything right every night. He's physical and the face-offs and the defensive work, but he probably won't be one of our top scorers. But I think if we end the season with a couple of trophies, I don't think anyone will care about that.
Great points there. Really good points, Green. And now on to you. I think Jono or Chris Gadsby dropped this in our chat as well. I think it was you, Jono. Three in the top 10 point scorers, you've got one player from every line. The way the lines are at the moment, it may have been someone in this chat, may have been someone else,
It was
but
Chris. It
it
was
was
Chris, I
Chris.
think.
So yeah, so at the moment, if you look at the stats as we have them on Wednesday, the 12th of November at 9:18, while it's Sheffield 1, Guildford 1, with 15 minutes to go in the third. Gary Hayden leads the way for Manchester Storm. Mitch Fossier is in second in the points with 13. You go down to Brendan Harris, and he's obviously had goal taken away from him, but he'll have that assist, of course. So Harris has 11 points in 10. He's in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And Brian Limoes has 10 in 10 in eighth. Ken, that's a really good sign that you're seeing. And yes, the lines have changed, but by and large, the way the lines are shaping up, that is one player from every one of those three lines at the moment.
Yeah, and we talked before about, we got a bit of that in the preseason, didn't we? We got some depth within the scoring. And I think, Jono's stats around defensive contribution is a game changer for us this early in the season. And if you just look in terms of the number of goals scored, I don't know, Chris Gatsby is probably the one to ask, or maybe Jono. I don't know if we tracked sort of like where we are. Goal scored this point this season by the same point last season. I don't know how easy that would be to, but it feels like we're getting a lot more contribution from lots of areas in the team, and possibly would be ahead in terms of goals scored. I don't know what it shapes up as, but yeah,
I
I'd
can
be.
look. I can look at it. It'd probably take 20 minutes or so, but I can get it for next week. No problem.
No, it'd be interesting to just maybe a gut feel. It just feels like we've got that extra firepower, and I think Yeah, I think the call it the luxury of having someone like David Noel with an absolute cannon, you know, just at the back there, and gives us so many more options that maybe we didn't have before, and I think, you know, we're starting to really utilize that effectively, and I think that gives teams lots of problems because where do you look when you've got the ability to just fire pucks like that from the outside and give yourself opportunities to score those game-changing goals that you know, didn't feel like we had loads of goals from the point last season, and now it feels like you know you're looking we look dangerous in all areas close in but from range as well.
Great points there as well. I think there's some real things that you can delve down into, which is really interesting. Sheffield are winning 2-1, by the way. I don't know why I'm saying it, because when people listen to it, they'll have known the score. And when you spoke earlier, it wasn't that I wasn't concentrating, guys. I was actually updating the match report to reflect those two goals for Brian Limo's rather than one. So just in case you thought I'd started nodding off. Let's talk about this weekend. We'll go back to you, Greener. Just the one game. It's crazy, haven't we? We've been in what feels like an intense run of games, midweek games and everything. And now there's a bit of a breather. Obviously, this weekend was meant to be our Continental Cup semi-final weekend. That didn't happen. Of course, the grand finals in Nottingham in January. Still get your seats for that. Some great prices there, isn't there, for the all-in tickets. But yeah, what can we think of Coventry? Because I felt Coventry made a really, really good start. And I've seen a few disenchanted comments from their fans recently. I mean, yeah, they picked up some points last weekend, but they're kind of not as hot as they were. What do you see in Coventry? I mean, I think Kevin Moore has already shown people are going to work hard on that team. That's what Danny Stewart always says of you know, they're always in your face. They're always going to play a hard-faced game. What do you expect from the Sky Dome on Saturday?
I think it will be obviously a fairly tough game. I think, yeah, I mean, you know, a Kevin Moore team probably quite similar to a Danny Stewart team. They're going to be, yeah, no nonsense. I wouldn't say defensive, but you know, well structured, physical. They're going to come at you with those sort of three, four lines. I think it's a totally different game in that rink as well. You know, when it's at home, I would be quite confident of the Panthers, you know, beating the Blaze in our rink most times, but obviously, in Coventry, it does give them a little bit of an advantage. You know, both teams sort of kind of had, you know, all week off rest. I think they had quite a few injuries at the start of the year, and they're probably just kind of getting them all back. I know Luciani was out last time we played them at home, so I'm not sure if he's back or not. But I just think they're well drilled. They've got a handful of standout players. I know Matt Robson didn't play last weekend, so I'm not sure if he's back, but I think it will just be a tough battle of a game. You know, you would say on paper we have, you know, more high-end talent, more depth. You would probably still favour us, but it's going to be a hard one. You know, we only have the one game to worry about, so you would like to think we'll just throw everything at them for 60 minutes, and you know that can be kind of weekend done if we get those 2 points. But I think no team ever goes into Coventry and it's an easy game, so I would expect nothing different.
Don't know about you, Ken, and I mean coaches can't do this because they have to take a one game at a time. But I'm already excited for Sheffield in a week and a half's time. Already sold out. Amazing Panthers Nation response. That game sold out 2 weeks in advance. In fact, while I think about it, the 27th games, December the 27th, there is just a handful of single seats left. I mean, I don't. I think there was. There was three in the top corner of block 19, and that was a couple of days ago that I saw that. And
I
since then, some
counted
singles.
41 yesterday.
So there you go,
41
Jono.
total seats.
So that 27th game's going to sell out. So you're going to need to get them quick. The Coventry game on New Year's Eve is selling really well, but as is all games at the moment, including that one with Glasgow Clan, which is not till the end of the month on the Friday. But going back to that original question, isn't it exciting to be going into a game with, you know, whatever happens in the coming days? It's going to be Panthers and Steelers 1 and 2 or 1 and 3, something like that, or 2 and 3. You know, whatever happens, it's going to be a real blockbuster top of the table clash.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna be the one that sort of says, yes, I'm massively excited about that game for obvious reasons, but I don't want to look past Coventry right now. I think that you know we that is a game that's coming in the schedule. Coventry is going to be a big test, and I think, we've got to take each game one game at a
You
time, and it's
don't need
cliche,
to do.
but
Coaches can do that. Come on, that's for Danny and Lynette and the boys. I want
I
you to
know,
tell
but
me. I want you
I
to
know, but
tell
then.
me how excited you are for a sold-out Saturday night barn against the Sheffield Steelers.
I'm hugely excited.
But you know
I'm
what?
hugely
Come on,
excited.
I'll get a better
Come
answer
on,
from
what are you doing?
Jono.
Come on, what are you doing to it? Like, because then, you just clip these words. We get like super excited about that, and then, you got we. I, okay, the point's been made. We're not going to look past
Yeah.
Coventry, okay? But let's say we look into the future past Coventry. We've done what we need to do there professionally,
Yeah.
and we move on. Yeah, I'm massively excited about Sheffield. That's
Yeah.
going to be a huge game. I mean, even more spice goes into it given Sheffield's recent, their recent result, and it means that it is a genuine 4 points or whatever happens. It's a huge game. It's massive,
Yeah.
and they'll want to do a job on us. We'll want to do a job on them. It's going to be electric. The barn's going to be full. It's going to be absolutely buzzing. Everybody's going to have to play their part in bringing the energy and the noise, and I think that everyone will. And it's epic. It's going to be blockbuster. It's going to be amazing.
It's crazy. I keep flicking back to the Sheffield game. It's 3-2 now. Sheffield 3, Guildford 2. But yes, you know what? You're right. And I'm not getting carried away. I think my point was, it's our next time we're going to be at home, apart from the testimonial, which we're going to come on to, which I'm very excited about as well. But whatever happens, on Saturday in Coventry, win or lose, that's set up to be, the biggest game of the season so far, and it's just exciting. And I'm excited that the fact it sold out 2 weeks in advance. That's just the way it should be. The two big rivals going head to head, and you already can't get a seat, which is fantastic.
Oh, I've had a look at the goals, by the way.
The goals, what
From
from the Steelers?
from last season.
The Panthers Steelers goals.
Oh, no, the total goals up
Oh,
until
the
this.
stats. Oh, come on then.
Yeah.
Throw it out.
So this time last season, we'd played 18 games, scored 53 goals, and they were all from forwards. And that
Oh
was
my
an
God, it's
average.
Sheffield 3, Guildford 3, by the way. There you go.
Marvellous. That's put a smile on my face. 2.94 goals per game, compared with, I think it's 3.55 goals per game that we're scoring at the minute from 72 in 20. So we are tracking ahead of where we were at this point last
And
season, goals
you can
wise.
comfortably say that the difference there is not only a better overall, but is an offensive contribution from the D.
Yeah, so what did I say? It was 18 goals from defence, where I think there was zero at that point from goals from defence at that point. I know
It's a goal.
Jarko.
It's a goal a game, isn't it?
Yeah,
18. Yeah, it's a goal a game.
so it just goes to show how important that contribution is. And look, I know that last year we probably didn't have the greatest start in the league, but we've gone over that hundreds of times. But it just bodes well. It's a real positive this season, the fact that we are scoring so many goals from all over the ice. And one of the things we said at the start, before any puck had been dropped, was look at the depth of this team, and it so far it's proving right. We look very, very good. I mean, it's no fluke that we are currently sat on the top of the league, because we deserve to be there because we're playing so well.
But you're right as well, Ken. Kind of, you touched on it in your other answer about not getting carried away. You've got to keep those standards high, and I think that this dressing room has that. I was chatting to someone today about Matt Alfaro. In the sense that I think not only he's a great captain, he's a guy that can score, he's a guy that can give you assists, but he also plays gritty. He gets in those hard areas. He's not afraid. And I don't think it's any surprise that now Alfaro's been back regularly, we're regularly picking up results. Again, a bit pointless.
I think we're playing as well. I've noticed since Alfie's been back in the lineup as well. I think generally we've been playing a bit heavier as well. I think across through the team, I think there's been a bit more of a physical edge, and
He has been winding opposition players up. No, me and Dan's talked about on commentary every game since he came back. He's really getting under opposition players' skin.
In case you're bothered, Evan Jessica made it 3-1 at 48-38, and then Guildford scored goals at 49-03 and 49-50. That's a thriller. Look, we should really get on to Ollie. I mean, I know we've touched on Ollie many times, but this will be the last podcast we do before the weekend. And Greeno, you probably turned your camera off because you're in training for your big moment. Let's start with you. How excited is the rumor true that you're trying to get ice before the game just to see what you can do?
Is that the rumor?
The rumor is that you might get some ice. Or you're
I'm gonna,
trying. Is it true?
I'm gonna try to. I mean, the first part you said about me being in training is certainly not true. But yeah, I'm gonna try if possible sometime early next week. Obviously, they'll be on the ice a couple of times early next week. I'll see if I can maybe sneak out there for 5 or 10 minutes at the end and just have a little feel around. But yeah, but obviously, it's going to be great for Ollie. He's having such a good season, and obviously what he's just done with GB, and I think just with our season going so well at the moment, it's such a good time to, celebrate with him. And obviously, I'm sure the guys will have a good night and have a lot of fun. So it should be an amazing night. But yeah, obviously, we'll see how I do. I'm sure it'll be a fun viewing spectacle for everyone. So obviously there's some great other guys, coming across the pond for the night. So it should be a lot of fun for everyone.
And on to you, Jono. And being involved in this testimony, you'll have the honour of being involved on the committee. Just the way when you ask people to do something, and basically straight away, they say yes. You didn't need to ask these people twice. Guys are flying in from all around the world. It just shows what Ollie means to these people, these fans, and this hockey club, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. I mean, anyone who plays for one club for 10 years, and probably a little bit more, because he was on a two-way before that, if you remember, with Swindon.
Yeah, well,
And
it's 13. I think it's 13 years ago since he first played a game.
so he's been there for all the good times or the tougher times. He's won trophies. And through it all, he's just a genuinely lovely guy, a really nice guy, and on the ice gives 100% every time he steps onto it. He deserves all the plaudits coming his way. He deserves the night that he's going to have. He deserves the testimonial season. I could not be happier for him. It's thoroughly deserved.
What do you want to add, Kenneth?
I can't really add anything that hasn't already been said. I think he's I think he's epitomizes as well. It's like to be a Panther, and he's I think he would probably say as well, getting to be for the club in his city, and the time that he has and been adopted by the fan base as a real kind of standout player, wearing the letters on his jersey as well, and repping all the team and the stand for. I think he's someone new as he come and join the club. If they're looking for an identity of what the Panthers is, he's told them, and he's going to kind of ground them in that sort of identity that we are as a club, and what we want to be, both on and off the ice. And I think, like you've said already, that's a testament to that. Is the number of them that want to come back and be part of the night. So, I was reading through, you sending me some of the information. I was reading through some of the names that are coming, and it's just incredible. I think if anybody is listening to this and they're umming and ahhing and they're thinking about whether they come down to support Ollie, I think just hit the button, buy the tickets, come down and support what is going to be a great night of reminiscing, and also a great night of seeing some fabulous players that have pulled the black and gold on over the years to here to support a great Panthers player.
Yeah, and just a couple of things to add before we finish. I mean, I'm excited for the dinner too. Ken, I dropped you a note of what me and you were going to talk about. I was just doing some work on it today and just really excited to think. And again, you look at, I was trying to piece together which of the players could talk about what of the players that are coming to the dinner. And it kind of just pieced together into three chunks. I'm not going to give too much away, but if you're coming to the dinner, there'll be three chunks of chat. And I think they're going to be really exciting because it's just different eras of Panthers history. And just finally, I can't really add much more than what you've said about Ollie. I just echo everything that you've said about Ollie. But just really what epitomized him now is the fact that he went away with GB, and I know he's made a massive impression on those young players. He captained a very young team with very few seats. He was the most experienced players that ended up going. Not many players with many caps. Josh Waller was one captain, Joe Hazeldine was the other. But I know he made a really good impression in that tournament, and a lot of good things were said. I mean, we know what he's like as a player and as a leader and as a person. But he went away and had that ultimate honour of captaining GB. And GB, we not had a chance to really talk about it, but apart from one period against Slovenia, a very young and youthful-looking GB team put in a really good show. But that was led by Ollie, who I gather was crucial in how much they fought and their ethos. But better dash, guys, because we're going to run out of time. But for now, thank you, Jono. Thank you, Ken Feast, and thank you, Greener. And we'll speak to you soon.
Bye.